The following interview has been conducted as part of the Ethical Media for Active Citizenship project, which aims to create awareness among media producers of the importance of ethical approaches to the production of media content.
My name is Peter Feeney, and I'm the Press Ombudsman.
Peter, will you tell us a little bit about the work that you do and also the Press Council, please?
Yes, I will, of course, yes. The Press Council was set up about 12 years ago. It has two main purposes. One is promote freedom of expression, and the second is to provide a complaints handling process whereby members of the public, if they're not happy with something they see in an Irish newspaper or magazine or online news service, they may make a complaint which will be independently considered by the Office of the Press Ombudsman and the Press Council. And if a complaint is upheld, the newspaper or magazine or whatever is obliged to publish the decision in full with due prominence.
It's kind of interesting that you mention freedom of expression and at the same a complaint mechanism, because sometimes it seems like in media and also some members of the public will understand that both things in both areas, freedom of expression and then some kind of code or ethical approach to media content, is a bit contradictory or maybe can clash.
Yes, sure. Yeah, I think you have to recognize that no rights are absolute. All rights are qualified by other rights. So there's always a tension between the freedom of expression and the causing of harm by what that expression may deliver. So there's always a balance to be achieved. And I think the main purpose of the Press Council and Press Ombudsman's Office is to encourage a sense of trust in the public, in their media, so that if something is inaccurate, if something is breaches rights in regard to children or privacy, that it can be corrected. So I don't see it as a form of sort of censorship, but rather as a recognition that there are responsibilities in the media, and sometimes if the media gets it wrong, it's important that something wrong should be corrected as quickly as possible.
Will you explain us a little bit about the baseline for the complaints? So
how do you
base your decision making?
Yeah, well, first of all, to make a complaint, the article has to be published in a member publication. All national newspapers, most regional newspapers, many magazines, and quite a few online-only sites are members of the Press Council, but it is voluntary. So there are some publications which haven't joined the Press Council, and we can't consider complaints about them. In the first instance, a complaint must be about something which has been published in the last 3 months. So if it's more than 3 months ago, you can't make a complaint. And the other requirement is that the person making the complaint must be able to show that he or she is personally affected by what has been published. If all those concerns are met, then we ask the public in the first instance to write to the editor, and we provide a contact details for the editor, and wait 2 weeks to get a reply. And if they're not happy with the reply, or if they believe or if the editor hasn't replied, then a formal complaint will be started by the Press Council, Press Ombudsman. So what we do is we look at our code of practice. There's only 11 principles in our code of practice, so it's quite a short code. And we see, is there any breach of any of those 11 principles by the publication? We ask the complainant to make a submission, and we ask the editor to make a submission, and they see each other's submission. And then the Press Ombudsman, in the first instance, I look at the complaint, read the submissions of the complainant and the publisher, and decide if the complaint should be upheld or not upheld. In some instances, I will say I have insufficient evidence to make a decision, but generally speaking, I'll either uphold or not uphold a complaint. Many times, what happens is that the editor addresses the complaint there and then, so the matter is resolved. So it doesn't actually go to a formal decision by the Press Ombudsman. And our case officer, one of her tasks is to try to conciliate a resolution to a complaint informally or formally. So what it means is that if the editor agrees to publish a letter or agrees to take something down which is on the web or whatever, then the complaint may be satisfied with that and the complaint ends at that point. It only goes to a formal decision if that process of conciliation cannot bring out a resolution.
So for what you have just said, I understand then that not all printed media is under, in some way, call it the, is not being observed by the Press Council, right?
That's
this
true.
Is a voluntary yes. approach.
Yes, it is voluntary. It's the Press Council is a voluntary body. It's not like broadcasters who are licensed by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Newspapers in Ireland don't require licenses. And there's no legislation, there's no statutory basis that they have to sign up to a code of practice. What happened is the 2009 Defamation Act defines the qualities which a Press Council should have, and it is found that the Press Council of Ireland meets those qualities. So we're recognised in statute, but we're not a statute body. So a newspaper isn't obliged to join the Press Council or a magazine. But in practice, the vast majority of them have joined because they see the advantage of a voluntary system rather than a system based on regulatory provisions based on law.
Let's talk a little bit about the complaints, because I suppose you will have an overview of what particular areas are the complaints made on.
Of course, yes. The biggest area, undoubtedly, is accuracy. The first principle of our code requires all members to strive towards truth and accuracy. So the biggest complaint we get is that something is inaccurate. And if it is inaccurate, it's usually relatively straightforward for the newspaper to publish a clarification or an apology or a correction and to change it online. So accuracy can often be dealt with quite easily. But of course, sometimes people disagree about facts and therefore you may have to go to a formal decision about it. The second big area would be privacy. People have rights to privacy, but those rights are not absolute. So if a newspaper publishes private information, they have to justify it. A good example would be court reporting, where a person doesn't like the fact that a newspaper reported something said in court. But a newspaper is free to publish material which has been said on the public record in court. Another big area is the area of prejudice. And that is that newspapers mustn't publish anything which causes grave offence or stirs up hatred against individuals or groups on the basis of their race, their religion, their nationality, their colour, their ethnic origin, etc. And the last big area, I would have to say, is children, and that is that children, people under the age of 18 are more vulnerable, and newspapers are obliged to be very careful in what they say and write about people under the age of 18. So we get a fair number of complaints about children as well.
I suppose that particularly the area we are looking at here for our EMAC project, the Ethical Media Against Racism, is very much about the prejudice.
Yes.
And the way that sometimes the use of stereotypes and generalizations, and also in some ways breaking up with the NUGA code and guidelines, can affect specific groups within society. So do you get a lot of complaints about that particular area?
It actually is surprisingly small. And I think one of the reasons is that people who have arrived in Ireland in the last decade or two may not feel very confident about complaining. If you are seeking refugee status or if your status is not determined, I think people in those circumstances are very reluctant to make complaints. And one of our tasks has to be, and that is make people aware of their rights and make them aware that if they feel that something has been published which is inaccurate or which is based on stereotypes about ethnicity or country of origin, whatever else is, they should make complaints. So I think we probably don't get as much complaints as we should about prejudice. But having said that, I think most newspaper editors are sensitive to the issue of anything to do with racism or ethnic origin, etc., and try to ensure that standards are maintained and met. Most of the complaints we receive about prejudice, a lot of them are about material which has been published on social media, on Facebook or Twitter. And mostly we can't deal with material published on Facebook or Twitter. We can only deal with material there if it's on the official site of a member publication. So if it is the Twitter account of the Irish Independent or the Evening Herald, we can deal with it. But if it's just private people tweeting or putting up Facebook comments, we can't deal with it. And that's a big weakness in Ireland, because I think most of the prejudicial comment which people encounter nowadays is on social media, not in our newspapers or in our broadcasting.
And what about media that in some ways may reproduce some of that content as a way of reporting maybe on racial abuse or something like that?
Yes. A lot of more tabloid newspapers tend to use, to get stories off Twitter and Facebook, and in republishing them may cause distress. They need to be sensitive to the impact the re-reporting of material on social media may have on the public, and they need to always put it in context, and they need to exercise great care that they don't generate harm in that process.
There is another issue, obviously, and it's obviously extreme right-wing groups are not very big at the moment in Ireland, but they are very vocal, and some of the media actually is reproducing some of their comments. So
yes, I think media needs to be very careful. It's important to report on extreme groups. It's important that we don't ignore the rise of fascist groups or ultra-nationalist groups, and we report on them. But in doing so, media must recognize they're giving them the oxygen of publicity as well. So there's a very careful balance between reporting on their activities and doing anything which actually encourages people to support them or encourages their message to get out in an uncritical manner. And I think newspapers have to be very careful to make sure they get that balance right. Ignoring them, I think, is wrong, but equally so, giving them too much attention or too much uncritical attention is also wrong.
And my last question is very much about prevention, because in some ways when a case or a complaint gets to you, is the damage in some way has been done.
You're right, yes.
So what mechanisms do you think are necessary in immediately to avoid this?
Yes, I think absolutely right. We have seminars with journalists and we talk to them about issues. And one of the issues that will come up is anticipating problems, because you are right, we are a complaints handling body by and large, so the damage is done, the article has been published. Now, a correction may be published or an editorial op-ed may be published which may balance out that wrong, but often it's too late when something's been published. So ongoing training of journalists and in-house training of journalists and reminding them of their responsibilities, both by the NUJ and by the Press Council, is an important part of activity. And journalists must remain aware at all times of the harm they may inadvertently cause and take steps to avoid it where possible.
This interview was produced as part of the EMAC project and co-financed by the European Commission's Erasmus Plus programme.